Good morning, John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Joy Cardine Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, there's been a lot in the news over the last 6 months about the University of Wisconsin system and the budget proposal by the governor, the budget action on the part of the legislature. But that news has focused pretty much, at least here in the state of Wisconsin, on immediate effects and on what people are saying inside the state about the university and its future. This hour, we're going to maybe take a look at this from a different perspective. What's the long-term public relations effect? How does this affect the image of the UW, perhaps Wisconsin's second most easily identifiable brand after perhaps the Green Bay Packers? What does this do to our image in the rest of the country and the rest of the world? So we're going to talk about that this hour with you and with our guest, Tom Plager, who is president of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. He served as campus executive officer and dean of the UW-Baraboo Sauk County, also held positions at UW-Marinette, UW-La Crosse, UW-Madison, and UW-Fox Valley. President Plager, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Good morning, and thank you. It's an honor to be on the show, and appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners.
So, we've done a lot of programs, Joy Cardine and the other talk shows that we have here on the Ideas Network, and we've had a lot of news coverage. Sean Johnson has been following this in the state capitol about the $250 million cut that the Committee on Joint Finance imposed on the university. That was $50 million less than what the governor had asked for. The public authority the governor had asked for didn't make it through joint finance, but the Joint Finance Committee removed tenure and governance from state statutes. So that's kind of the background for this. Your concern, and you look at this from outside the system these days, your concern is about the public relations damage that you say these changes are having on the UW system. How bad do things look from your perspective?
Well, the University of Wisconsin system is an unusual system. There isn't any other public university system structured quite like it in the country. It's the only one, to my knowledge, that has an extension that's statewide. It has 26 campuses, 13 two-year liberal arts campuses, two doctorals, and then 11 comprehensives. And what makes it particularly different from other university systems is its governance structure. It's the only system in the country where its governance and the rules for governing the system are in state law. And it's a system that many states have looked at as a model for how they would like to develop their university systems. In fact, I'm in the process of working with our faculty and staff to develop a shared governance model that is borrowing some of the concepts from the University of Wisconsin system's shared governance. So changes to this are of national news to folks in higher ed, because Wisconsin has been held up as really the primary example of how an inclusive shared governance structure can run a university system in terms of input from a community perspective. And it hasn't been tinkered with to this magnitude since its formation in the 1970s.
That's been a major piece of the controversy here. And a lot of people are saying, well, the shared governance, you know, the inmates are running the asylum. That's actually one of the problems with the UW, is that faculty and staff have too much control over what administrators do, and that prevents the university from operating as efficiently as it should.
Well, the universities are different than businesses. Granted, they have to be efficient and be stewards of taxpayer money, but they're communities. The name college itself refers to a collegial grouping of shared disciplines, and universities are groups of colleges. So unlike other types of businesses, universities have professional thinkers at their core, the faculty. And Wisconsin, in the 1970s, when Governor Lucy knit the University of Wisconsin campuses together with the Wisconsin State Universities, created a new system where faculty, staff, and the legislature and the public were involved in developing Chapter 36, which laid out this governance structure, and it's worked exceptionally well, I think, in terms of it's an asset. It's attracted people to Wisconsin, to the university system. It's slower, than a top-down system, but it produces better results, and I think it's in tradition or in accordance with Wisconsin's progressive thinking and the evolution of its university system. So I think that's what's really a concern. If this kind of change could happen in Wisconsin, it could happen around the country, and so people are watching this very closely in higher ed.
Okay, so, I mean, we talk about this as having a negative public relations effect on the university's image elsewhere outside the state of Wisconsin. So who exactly, though, are we marketing the UW to? I mean, are we talking about students, potential faculty, other universities? Who is it that is, where's this effect going to be felt?
I think all of those groups. The University of Wisconsin system recruits students from all over the world, as well as faculty from all over the world. I think that the primary news or the primary focus of the news has been on faculty and administrators from other states looking at Wisconsin and quite puzzled by how can a state with such a great university system that's known throughout the world A, make substantial cuts to it, and B, change its governance structure, create this kind of national controversy around its university. So this will have a significant impact on the entire system's ability to recruit faculty, and it will also result, I suspect, in other institutions stepping up their interest in recruiting faculty from and administrators and staff from Wisconsin, and not just Madison, but across the board. In our searches here at Lake Superior State University, we've hired a number of University of Wisconsin staff and administrators. University of Wisconsin faculty are showing up in our searches. And I know talking to my other colleagues in Michigan, other presidents, they are also seeing a greater number of Wisconsin applicants. And I suspect universities around the country are looking at Wisconsin as a primary place to recruit talent from.
So why should an incoming freshman care about shared governance?
Well, shared governance, if you look at Chapter 36, and I encourage your listeners to just do a web search on Chapter 36, University of Wisconsin System, and you can see the state statute that governs the whole system. It's really well thought out, defines the mission, then establishes the various powers and decision-making processes within the University of Wisconsin system. And if you look at the shared governance component, it lays out the roles of the faculty, the academic staff, and the students. And the faculty are given the primary responsibility for academic and educational activities and faculty personnel matters. The students are responsible for overseeing policy development of the institution that relates to students, as well as the distribution of fees. So not only do these changes impact faculty and staff, they impact the student representation within the University of Wisconsin system. And students should be concerned about that. They should also be concerned about the potential departure of top faculty and the ability to recruit top faculty and staff to the university system.
What's the message that the governor and the legislature are sending to the rest of the nation with the changes that they have made?
Well, I think it depends on who you are and what your beliefs are around tenure and how universities should be run. But certainly from the academic community, this is raising national and international attention of people watching very closely if Chapter 36 is removed from state statute, which it has been, and is somehow substituted with regent policy, which is more common. Wisconsin's the only university system in the country that has its governance and its operational procedures codified in state law. If those changes are moved or the ability is given to the regents to make those changes, what will they look like and how different will they be from this long tradition of shared governance? I can tell you an interesting comment that I remember years ago when we hired a new chancellor in the University of Wisconsin Colleges and Extension, and he made a comment to me coming from elsewhere that shared governance is in the water in Wisconsin, and that reflects just how strong that tradition is. So changing it is something that people are concerned about, and it sends a message to the rest of the country and to the rest of the academic world that suggests Wisconsin is not pleased with its university system or perhaps not proud of it, when I think it's one of the greatest assets that Wisconsin has, and as you mentioned, one of the most recognizable brands that Wisconsin has that stands for quality and academic freedom and research and world-class facilities and educational opportunities.
We're talking about the long-term effects to the UW system of the changes that have been proposed and are presumably about to be made when the budget is signed and by the governor and goes into effect. What that's going to do to the UW's image elsewhere. Tom Plager is my guest. He's president of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Wondering what you think. I mean, do you think this is going to hurt the UW's reputation, or maybe you're not concerned about that, and you don't think it'll have any effect on the UW's future? If you work at the UW, how do you feel about all this? Or do you support the changes, including removing tenure from state law and making it easier for tenured faculty to be dismissed? Let us know at 800-642-1234. We'll take a break for news and be right back. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. Changes at the UW passed by the legislature are doing damage to the UW's reputation across the country. So says my guest, Tom Plager, president of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. He also served as a campus executive officer and dean of the UW-Baraboo Sauk County and held positions at UW-Marinette, UW-La Crosse, UW-Madison, and UW-Fox Valley. Wondering what you think of all of this as people who live in the state of Wisconsin. Perhaps you should probably have some say in this matter. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can post your comment or question on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or send us an email, talk@wpr.org. We have a comment from Lynn on Facebook. Lynn writes, I was watching a city council meeting at my daughter's home in Illinois. A student received an engineering award and was going to UW-Milwaukee, but with the $3,000 tuition increase per year for out-of-state students, he will be studying engineering at the University of Illinois. So with another budget cut in the pipeline, we're looking at probably at some point increased tuition to make up for some of that. How's this going to affect the university's ability to attract top students?
Well, I believe tuition will be frozen in this biennium, and that's for domestic students or just students in-state, but out-of-state tuition is going to go up as a result of these cuts, and that certainly will make the University of Wisconsin system less attractive and less affordable to out-of-state students. And also, my understanding is that graduate tuition is expected to go up and professional school tuition, so recruiting from outside of state will be more challenging because other institutions have either kept their tuition flat. Our campus has actually reduced out-of-state tuition here at Lake Superior State to attract students from out-of-state. So the budget impact is significant for the immediate future for out-of-state students, but long-term it's going to have a dramatic impact on in-state students. Either tuition will have to go up or there will have to be substantial reductions in staffing. That's where most of the University of Wisconsin system's budget is housed, is in personnel, in order to keep tuition affordable. And some scholars that are interested in tuition across the country have argued that this two-year freeze will eventually have to be followed by significant increases in tuition. And I think the number of folks are worried about that and what the impact will be in terms of affordability in Wisconsin.
Of the changes that are being proposed, the budget cut, the removal of the shared governance and tenure language from statute, which of these is potentially the most damaging to the UW's image?
Well, I think the tenure issue has gained the most national attention. The shared governance issue is something that I see as particularly troubling because this has worked very well. And the question is, why is it changing and why does it have to change so fast without public input? And why is it being pushed to the authority of the regents who are political appointees? And we have a relatively new group of regents in place, and how will that work out? But the tenure changes and are significant. The current statute, Chapter 36, reads that any person having tenure may be dismissed only for just cause and only after due notice and hearing. the change now, or the proposed change, would allow for dismissal due to discontinuance or curtailment, modification, or redirection of resources, or when a financial emergency exists. So that's a significant change in the way the university has operated, and I think that's gaining a lot of attention. That has faculty very concerned. The regents have pledged that tenure will be retained, but we're looking at some new policy that's unknown, and will that policy change over time is a big question. Will it change when there are new board members in place? And does this allow faculty to be let go because they're in a program that's unpopular or teaching ideas that may not fit with the current political views of the leadership of the state? That's of great concern, and that's generating a lot of interest around the country as this is being launched.
Well, I mean, there's a significant body of thought out there that this tenure is nonsense. The average person doesn't get tenure in their job. I mean, if you work at a local retail establishment, you're an at-will employee, and you could walk into work in the morning and someone could say you're done. And there doesn't seem to be a real great deal of sympathy for UW faculty. In fact, here's a comment from Dan on Facebook, I think, and I see a lot of this on social media and in news reports, and the narrative about this is full of messages like this. But Dan says, recover, we're just getting back to common sense. No one deserves a job for life by working part-time for 3 to 5 years and only teaching liberal leftist junk that has failed time and time again. Regardless of what you might think about Dan's point of view, that's out there. And the perception is, oh, faculty don't work very much, and then they get a job for life. I mean, gosh, I'd like a gig like that.
Well, I'm following these comments, and I think a lot of this reflects a misunderstanding of what tenure is. Tenure exists to protect ideas, and Wisconsin has been at the forefront throughout its history of being a progressive state. It's used the university's expertise to explore topics and set social policy and government policy in the state, although there's less of that happening now in terms of using the university as a source of expertise for shaping policy in Wisconsin. But tenure exists for academic freedom to make certain that ideas and concepts can be explored and taught, that someone cannot be dismissed simply because they're teaching an idea that is not in sync with the current political leadership or direction that government has in the state or perhaps even in the university. And tenure, universities are not like other institutions or the private business sector. First, most faculty go to school for at least a decade to earn the highest degree possible in their field, and they're on probation for 6 years and must go through a series of steps to gain tenure, and not all faculty do receive tenure, and then there are post-tenure reviews. Could post-tenure reviews be more rigorous or have some modification to them? I think that's worth exploring, but I would certainly argue that my experience of 20 years in the University of Wisconsin system, that faculty are not lazy. They're extremely productive. Wisconsin has some of the most productive scholarship faculty and teaching faculty in the country, and that's why other institutions are interested in recruiting faculty from the University of Wisconsin system, because of that national reputation.
Rebecca Blank, who's the chancellor at UW-Madison, says, whoa, wait a minute, let's not panic about this tenure thing. The regents have committed themselves to retaining tenure as part of university policy. And let's not get hysterical. She's already seeing what she calls poaching of UW-Madison faculty from elsewhere. You alluded to that earlier in the conversation. There is one of the pieces of the discussion is, okay, so it's not enshrined in state statute anymore. The Board of Regents can still preserve tenure at the system level and have said that they would in fact do so. Chancellor Blank is saying, hey, let's not panic here. This isn't the disaster that some people are painting it. Is that spin control or is that a real thing?
I think it's a little of both. It really depends on what the regents produce. I know that the president has established some task force of faculty across the system to work with the regents to develop policy. Institutions appear to be doing this as well. It's unclear whether each institution will have slightly different policies. One of the beauties of the system right now with the state statute is that the tenure process is codified for the entire system, and faculty are evaluated on teaching, professional development, scholarship, community service, and governance. But how that's weighted is different at each institution depending upon their mission and their focus. So how that changes is unknown, and then how will it change in the future? It's much easier to change policy at the board level than it is to change state statute. And many people have argued, well, other states have this codified at the policy level, and that's the case with my institution. The tenure requirements and language do change at the institution I'm at based upon contractual relationships with the faculty and also board revisions. But Michigan does not have a system. Each institution is independent. The question is, why is this change being made? Why for a state where in the university system where it's known for this strong protection, strong stance on academic freedom and fair governance, why such a quick change, and why is it being publicly vetted and discussed, I think is what people all over the state and all over the country are concerned about.
Okay, and I don't want to spend the whole hour talking about tenure, but it is a big deal, and there is, as you point out, there seems to be some misunderstanding out there about what it means. But okay, so you're an administrator. You run a university. The legislative leaders and the governor have said, hey, you know, we want to put more power in the hands of administrators to manage their campuses and their institutions more efficiently, and tenure gets in the way. Do you see tenure as being in your way as you try to manage your university?
Well, tenure presents some challenges because once people earn tenure and they've gone through that review process to earn tenure, they are appointed for life, so you have less flexibility with your faculty positions when someone's in that role. But I think in terms of the long-term view, the ability to give faculty some freedom to teach and pursue scholarship and to speak their minds is important. And that's something that I value. I value it because I came out of the University of Wisconsin system. I grew up in Wisconsin. I understand the value of this. And I understand how important it is to faculty. I understand how much work it was in my own case to earn tenure. It was very difficult to give up when I left Wisconsin. But I think it's an important component of high-quality institutions because it is really the guarantee of academic freedom and the pursuit of truth and knowledge. So it's a balance in terms of how many tenure-track faculty do you have, how many tenured faculty do you have, and how that influences or impacts your flexibility to move resources around the university. And that's something I can see that the faculty are very concerned about because the proposed language does create much more flexibility than ever has existed before in terms of distributing resources. And when I mean resources, we're really talking about people within the state and within the university system.
800-642-1234, the number to call to join our discussion. We're talking about the public relations effect of the changes being made to the UW budget and to the statutes regarding the UW system in terms of tenure and shared governance. And we're talking about how that plays outside of Wisconsin and what that's going to mean for the university's reputation. Is that something that you're concerned about? Do you think it matters what people think about the UW outside of the state of Wisconsin? Do you support the changes that are being made, including removing tenure from state law and making it easier for tenured faculty to be removed and shifting power to the Board of Regents? Maybe we want to hear from you. 800-642-1234. You can comment on Facebook as well. And let's go to the phones where Willem is on the line from Colfax. Willem, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I think these changes are really ideologically driven. I think they're really unwise, and I think they send a clear message to the not only to our nation but to the world about what's happening in Wisconsin with that type of thinking. And the email that you read or the Facebook post that you read illustrates, I think, the governor's self-admitted strategy of divide and conquer, of using resentment of people who are struggling against other people who are struggling as a political tool to achieve his ends, which is to sort of whip the university into a kind of a shape. Well, the reason that I called was in the early 80s and we traveled to Turkey, and we met several people who, in Istanbul, young people who had expressed a desire to, you know, maybe someday be able to attend the University of Wisconsin engineering program. Another person wanted to go to the University of Wisconsin math. And so, and when I lived in England, I told people that I was from Wisconsin. People, this is what they brought up, the University of Wisconsin. They knew about that. Like you said earlier, you know, the Packers and the University of Wisconsin, that's what people recognize. And I think this message that's being sent to the nation and to the whole idea of academic freedom is the idea that somehow education is a like a welding class. That's not true. I mean, I've never used a lot of the things I studied as for a job, like archaeology and history and things like that, but they make me a more informed and educated person. And I think to have educated, informed people in a society make it a better society. And I think that if the governor and his supporters don't understand that, then, you know, we're in big trouble.
Willem, thanks. Thanks for the phone call. Tom Plager?
I agree with the caller's comments. I think what is sad and difficult to watch, particularly from afar, is that the University of Wisconsin system is one of the state's most valuable resources, and to use it for political gain is troubling. And to see the negative energy that's resulting is because of this is unfortunate, and it's going to have long-term consequences for the state and long-term consequences for the university. Other states would love to celebrate their university. In fact, in Michigan, a very different perspective on higher ed. Here, state government's reinvesting in higher ed, and this year the universities are getting an increase across the board and then an increase with performance funding. We also are allowed to go up to 3.2% increase in tuition. Our institution's going to do about 2.6. So the neighboring state, and this is, I'd say, all the states around Wisconsin are looking at reinvesting in their university systems to attract people to their regions, to their states, to grow their economies. And Wisconsin is doing the opposite. It should be one of the most valuable tools right now for improving the livelihood of Wisconsinites and the economy and the overall culture of the state. And it's being bashed in the political arena, and it's unfortunate.
Let's take a call from Veronica in Janesville next. Veronica, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Good morning. I don't remember the exact line, but Scott Walker supposedly accidentally struck the whole line of the idea of Wisconsin, if he can recall that, and then said, you know, it was an accident. He didn't mean to do that. I just find this all to be part of the whole deplete education in Wisconsin backdrop of this whole administration. And to take the whole idea of the Wisconsin idea away is the ultimate goal here. And unfortunately, people are buying this Kool-Aid of how education isn't really worth much of anything.
Veronica, thanks for your call. Tom Plager, I think we'll have to wait to respond to Veronica's comment until after the news, but certainly there's been there was a big controversy over the changes in the language regarding the Wisconsin idea, particularly the elimination of one of the university's purposes being to search for truth, and that language was put back in, and that certainly was a controversy. But let's deal with Veronica's comments after the news break, which comes up in just a moment here. We're talking about the long-term image effects of the changes that are being proposed for the UW system, the budget cut, the removal of language about tenure and shared governance from the state statute. What message does that send to the rest of the country, the rest of the world? Is that a good or a bad thing? Either way, let us know at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org, or you can leave a comment or a question on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We'll break for news and be back with more on the Joy Cardine Show. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We're talking about the long-term effects, public relations-wise, of the changes that are being made to the UW here in Wisconsin. Tom Plager is my guest, president of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Before the news, we had a caller who had some concerns about what she considered to be kind of the attack on the Wisconsin idea. Let's address that, and then we have some other callers who want to get in on the conversation as well.
Sure. Well, let me just read quickly the mission, the current mission. This is out of Chapter 36. The mission of the system is to develop human resources to discover and disseminate knowledge, to extend knowledge and its application beyond the boundaries of its campuses, and to serve and stimulate society by developing in students heightened intellectual, cultural, and humane sensitivity, scientific, professional, and technological expertise, and a sense of purpose. Inherent in this broad mission are methods of instruction, research, extended training, and public service designed to educate people and improve the human condition. Basic to every purpose of the system is the search for truth. It's a powerful mission that has taken a long time to develop and is, in essence, the Wisconsin idea. So many people were troubled by the idea of changing that and substituting workforce development into that language, and changing the pursuit of truth, the pursuit of knowledge, the enhancement of the human condition, in addition to producing degrees. All of the University of Wisconsin campuses enrich their communities through the Wisconsin idea. I grew up right down the street from the University of Wisconsin-Marinette, and that campus influenced my family throughout our entire time of living in that community in terms of our participation in the arts, lectures. My parents were involved. It enriched the community significantly. And there's great concern of changing this and thinking that that's not equally as important as producing graduates.
Here's an email from Barb, who writes, as a Wisconsin resident and the mother and mother-in-law of two recent PhDs from Oxford University, university faculty are deluding themselves if they think that the nation or world is watching and shying away from seeking or accepting faculty positions in the UW system due to the removal of tenure from state statute. The only people worried about this issue are those who have made it and only want to retain the status quo. The rest of the world is looking for faculty spots at any university and only wants a chance to prove themselves on an equal playing field. They don't want to wait for someone to die to have a position open to them. So that's a different take on this whole thing. I mean, there are a lot of people with PhDs looking for work right now. Why shouldn't they just come to Wisconsin if people are going to leave here?
So no question about that. And certainly the Madison area has a significant number of PhDs that are not in academia or looking for jobs. And when I was at Baraboo, we had no problem hiring folks, even in part-time positions, of high-quality talent. But as I talk to my colleagues, and over the last month or two, several months, I've written over a dozen letters of recommendation of people who want to leave Wisconsin, who've applied elsewhere, colleagues of mine from all over the system. And as I talk to deans, administrators, I'm hearing that they're having a hard time recruiting top talent of people that the university has identified in a national search as their number one candidate. Certainly there are other people in the pool who would love to have a faculty position, but we're talking about the best and recruiting the best and settling for someone who's less than what is considered the best in the national search. Madison will always be able, I think, to recruit top talent. I actually think this could impact the rest of the system more significantly, particularly the smaller campuses where they benefit from being associated with the University of Wisconsin brand significantly in their national searches. And this kind of negative attention will, I suspect, have a greater impact there than perhaps Madison. But there's no question that's being felt at Madison. The chancellor there has already acknowledged it, and you've seen some key faculty announce their departure within the last month or two.
Let's go back to the phones. A lot of people want to join us here on this discussion. We're happy to have everybody. Steve in Milltown, you'll be next. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. If necessity is the mother of invention, I think we should give credit where credit is due if indeed we are what we claim we are in the Wisconsin university system, and let them work it out and see what they do instead of beating on change. Maybe they will find a way to maintain everything they claim to be and do it with less. Thank you.
Steve in Milltown saying, hey, let's give this new system a chance and see if it works or not.
Well,
Well, let's hope it does, and let's hope that the groups that are put together are able to basically mimic or craft the essence of Chapter 36 Indo-Region policy, and then let's hope that it doesn't change as the board membership changes over time. I think that's what's in some faculty members' minds, is the concern that the Board of Regents are politically appointed positions, and we have a relatively new board. I've worked with the board over the last two decades of my career, and people who end up on the board are dedicated and talented and excited about the university system. But we have a new group, and if each group that comes in or new board members are able to change and shape policy that reflects tenure and governance, how much change will occur compared to how little change has occurred in terms of that, because it's been preserved in statute. And you could argue, some could argue, that's a good thing to have this constantly changing. I would argue that universities are designed to endure, designed to preserve academic freedom and the pursuit of truth, so you want something that has some teeth to it. And Wisconsin had perhaps the most powerful structure in the country having this in state law.
Let's go to Orville in Madison next. Orville, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I would never like the idea of a state university. It seems like a contradiction in terms. It's like having an Islamic university or a Catholic university. You can't go against a dogma or you're persecuted. I think what people want to see in Wisconsin is a large technical college. They don't understand the concept of a university. That's all I have to say.
Orville, thanks for that perspective. And I just want to, before you respond to that, I just want to, the original purpose of the land-grant colleges was to produce better farmers, wasn't it?
It was to produce better farmers and to disseminate applied arts and agricultural information and science and technology to the public. And, of course, the University of Wisconsin-Madison is a land-grant institution, but with the formation of the system, that land-grant mission has extended across the entire system, because extension is present throughout the entire state. And that's one thing that makes Wisconsin completely different than the rest of the country. Here in Michigan, extension is only part of Michigan State. And so the land-grant mission, that outreach mission, only exists formally through Michigan State University. I'd like to see our institution do more of that, and we are looking to partner with extension. But in Wisconsin, the structure allows for that. And but you're correct. The land-grant mission is really to disseminate knowledge to the people and to grow the intellectual capital and transfer research out to the communities and to
Orville's point about what people really want is a big technical college?
Well, I think that's a great concern. I've been in higher ed long enough where I've seen lots of trends in terms of demands of certain degrees. There was a point in my career where there was a surplus of engineers. Now there is a shortage, and there's a real interest in ramping up STEM production, but we also need people in the arts. We need people in the social sciences and the humanities, and that's what makes a great university, is the combination of all of those fields of a core liberal arts base. And by the way, the liberal arts includes the sciences, that are the foundational concepts for all majors, and then you also have professional and technical degrees attached to that. But I think core to the mission of a public university is not only producing people for careers, but also producing great citizens. And we do need people in careers in the arts and in the humanities and many different fields, not just in technical and science, technology, engineering and mathematics, and healthcare fields.
How concerned are you that other states will take a page from Wisconsin and chip away at their university systems?
Well, I think that's the intention of this, is to set a model to show what can be done. It was done in the case with K-12 in Wisconsin, and that's what I think is of such concern, is using the university for political points during a potential election, presidential election. That's of great concern. The university should not be used in that way. It's a tremendous asset, and the long-term consequences of putting it out front in this discussion and questioning its value are significant and will long last, have a longer lasting impact than however long somebody's in the presidential office.
You say it will take years for the system to recover from what's happening now. What are your long-term expectations for the university?
Well, let's hope that if first of all, it would be great if the regents and the president said, well, Chapter 36 should stand as is. It should be defended along with the faculty. But if that can't happen and the board is going to rewrite those policies and they're going to be held at the board policy level, let's hope that they follow the language that is in Chapter 36 and continue that great tradition of shared governance and academic freedom and the pursuit of truth and the dissemination of knowledge and the cultural enrichment of our state. Or my former state, I should say now.
Well, yeah, and again, you're looking at this from the perspective of someone who's in Michigan, and you have contact with other people in the university systems around the country and so forth. Thank you for bringing that perspective to us this morning. I really appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate the callers, and I enjoyed the discussion. Thank you very much, John.
Tom Plager, president of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. He served as campus executive officer and dean of the UW-Baraboo and Sauk County, and also held positions at UW-Marinette, UW-La Crosse, UW-Madison, and UW-Fox Valley. Coming up tomorrow on this program at 7 o'clock, Democratic presidential candidate Lincoln Chafee is pushing for the U.S. to embrace the metric system. We'll talk with a math instructor from Madison College, who also happens to be the central area director of the U.S. Metric Association, about the pros and cons of making the switch. That's our big question tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Should the U.S. go metric? Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour of programming and Judith Sears-Poisson for handling on-air production. Christy Taylor did her usual excellent job as director. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.